Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guy on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
And no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Woo! What a day. Wow, what a day.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. All right, so let's go ahead and just take a breath and set the table here so that everybody understands fully what's going on. Don't want to assume that everybody's been locked in all day long. First and foremost, the 49ers had an incredibly frustrating football game, their first loss of the year. Kyle Shanahan spoke this morning. Brock Purdy says the toe is hurting. Ricky Pearsall is a maybe. Juwan Jennings is a maybe, and it feels like there's another game in 2 hours. It's actually in about 72 hours, but it feels, based on this injury report, like it's coming any minute now. So we're going to get you all set for that, and we'll talk out everything Niners related. In the meantime, also, Bob Melvin has been fired as the manager of the San Francisco Giants. Buster Posey spoke this morning. We'll have some of that. Also, it's Warriors Media Day. Yay, Jimmy Butler and Buddy Hield are back making fun of one another. That's tons of fun. Steve Kerr won't talk. I've never heard of a media day where the head coach doesn't speak. And I think it is representative of the fact that the Warriors are just beyond livid that September 29th is here and their situation with their contracts and their potential free agents and all of this still is in some sort of a state of flux. Add it all up for me. And boy, we would love to hear your reactions. The fun thing about today is we often kind of like create a small lane for you and then you can engage and talk to us on that. The lane is much wider today. So all of these things are on the table. And 888-957-9570, we would love your thoughts and your reaction to any of it, whatever it is that's hitting you today. The Niner loss, the Giants managerial change, the Warriors continue to be in a state of flux, and we're trucking toward October 1st like a runaway train. So that's all on the table, and I add it all up, Dibs, and I find today, while a huge day, a big day, and an interesting day, I find today to be one of the more frustrating days I can remember as a Bay Area sports fan, because it's representative of the fact that all three are in some sort of a state of disarray as we sit here at this hour.
Yeah, and it's an interesting word to use, frustration, and I look at the 49ers, and yeah, that's a frustrating loss to a team that was almost as sloppy as you were. You were a little sloppier. You didn't take advantage of their slop with a couple of balls that were up for grabs that you were unable to get, and as a result, you lost, and you even got gifted late in the game with a missed field goal, which allowed you to drive down and win the game, perhaps, and you got the ball at your own 37, not that far to go, needing 63 yards, and two plays later, it was over. So it was frustrating in a number of different ways. You mentioned Christian McCaffrey's hands Kendrick Bourne, who, whatever, you can dismiss it as like, whatever, we don't need Kendrick Bourne. Suddenly you need Kendrick Bourne.
Sure do.
You may not have Pearsall. You may not have Jennings. You still don't have Ayuk. So you might be looking at Bourne and Moore and Robinson as your receivers coming in on Thursday. So, yeah, that was frustrating. The Warriors one to me, I'm kind of just over it. And, yeah, it'd be great if everything was done and media day could have been all chuckles and laughs and the whole rest of it. But the frustration for me has been there so long, I've kind of gotten used to it. And that's, I guess, where I am with the Giants, too. I'm a little surprised they fired Bob Melvin, but not after hearing from Buster today. And like you were mentioning last week, you could see some of the breadcrumbs come out. And so now the big job is, all right, Buster, you're the boss. Go out there and find somebody who will be different than what you had, because 81-81 is almost worse than going 70-92.
Yeah, it kind of is.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you were 70-92, it would have been, all right, Bryce, get up here in August, and we could have gone young guys all the way. Instead, all this fool's gold in August and September, and you wind up right where you started, a 500 club again.
81-81, knowing that 84 wins gets you into the playoffs this year, yeah. I think is even more frustrating. When you think back to how many games, and I know every team has their full year in their memory bank where they're like, oh, we blew that one and we blew that one. But like with the Giants revolving door at closer and the selling at the deadline and all of the things that they did, to look at some of those games and realize that three more piddly wins, you'd have ended up in the playoffs. Do you know that they ended up in front of the Diamondbacks? They actually were the third place team this year, as it turned out.
Hooray.
I know. No, but they sweep at the end of the year to get to 81-81, and you look up and you're like, oh my God, like they finished two games out. And if they had won three more baseball games this year, all those games they blew. If they win three of them, we've got more baseball coming up this week.
Right. Playoff baseball.
Yeah, but no, it doesn't happen. And so again, yeah, I find that to be just unimaginable and totally frustrating, and a little bit, I still sit here looking back on that season and scratch the head. I scratch the head. The good thing about the 49ers situation is I'm not scratching my head there. The Giants have me scratching my head. Kuminga's got me scratching my head. The Niners don't have me so much scratching my head. That one is just frustrating because the 49ers this year so far, first of all, they're 3-1, so I don't know how you can be overly frustrated. The season, it's still in good shape, but I also get that looking forward, it just fills you with anxiety because that classic knee bone is attached to the thigh bone and the thigh bone with the hip bone. That's what I see as 49er football. I know a lot of you want to Purdy this and Purdy that, and he was bad yesterday. There's no two ways about that. There's no escaping it. But I just see a complete chain link fence of bad. That, like, nobody could catch the ball. They're not blocking. They won't run the ball. Their quarterback's not taking care of the ball. They can't rush the passer. And my God, what's it going to take for special teams to be good around here?
It looked like they were starting to get closer.
What's it going to take?
Right. I mean,
my God, are you kidding me?
Pretty bad. Cost you a clean 10 points.
My God.
Because the tootin' 54-yard return right before halftime set them up into great position. Oh, and then D. Winters with an immediate face mask on the next penalty. And so now they're at the 26-yard line. Whoop, easy three. And then the punt return. And I've always had people tell my wife that I outkicked my coverage, and she has never understood that. So I'm going to show her that film.
She doesn't get it? She doesn't get the reference?
She does, and I have to explain it to her. She's more of a baseball gal than she is a football person. So when I say, the punter kicks it so far that the guys won't going to do the tackling, they can't get down there fast enough, that's what that was. It was a booming punt, and the gunner missed him, and nobody else would touch him. 86 yards later, special teams, my friends.
But you've explained to her that what people are saying to you guys, because I get it too, is that
absolutely.
Your girl is prettier than you are. You get that, right? You just tell her that so she understands that?
She is the booming punt.
Okay.
And I'm basically the returner.
Yeah.
And, I stagger out of bounds like the Jacksonville one did. So I'm frustrated a lot by a lot of things. I do think the defense is kind of getting dragged down unfairly.
Well, I'm
at the end of it, I look at 3-1 And boy, Thursday's big.
Sure.
And I just wish that they were a little healthier for that.
That'd be good. Yeah, I want to make sure that everyone, at least for me, where I'm coming from defensively. I don't think today's a day to rip the defense, but today's a day to be very concerned about it. So you're right. I thought that they did what they could based on the hand that they were being dealt. I also thought the Jaguars helped them. The Jaguars were not a good football team yesterday. And so
a lot of self-inflicted penalties.
They were kind of silly, and I don't find them to be that effective, but they were able to do enough against a team that just played a very, very poor football game all the way around. My point is that, and actually here's the way I'll say it. Hey, every single one of you who ripped Nick Bosa the last year and a half because you didn't like his sack total, do y'all see now that he wasn't underperforming? Do you get that? Do you understand that he is one of those people that makes everyone around him better because he takes so much attention from an offensive line that it allows the Bryce Huffs, it allows the Mykal Williams to perform. And when he's not there, they can't do it. They can't do it on their own. So I'll buy what you're saying, Dibs. The defense wasn't like a joke yesterday. I'm simply telling you that if that's the pass rush without Nick Bosa, you're dead this year. It has to be better.
It has to be better.
And so you got to find a way to do that because I don't know if anyone's taking your trade call yet. It's only week four. But you got it, like, whatever it is, something's got to change because that pass rush, again, the stat you can all take home, 10 years since the 49ers played a football game where they did not sack or hit the quarterback. It's the first one in a decade where that happened yesterday. And that's... it's only going to get worse when you play Matt Stafford and Baker Mayfield.
That's the point. Is you can get away with it when you take on Trevor Lawrence and an offense that had no interest in throwing the ball down the field. He threw 31 times for a 174. That is 5.5 yards per attempt.
Yep.
So, yeah, go ahead and dink and dunk all you want. The only plays that hurt you, and that this is where I was sharing this with our thread earlier today, you missed Nick Bosa the most on the ETN run because that would be a spot where Nick Bosa would have held the edge and he would have had to cut it back inside where you had some help. But Mykal Williams was out there for that play. He's better off on the interior. He's a young player. He got swallowed up by the block. The safety's over-pursued, and ETN had a lane right down the field. So, yes, the pass rush, and that's a galling stat about 10 years since you've had it that bad. If you don't have a pass rush, how are you going to get takeaways in the back end? But for me, the big miss was what Nick Bosa does in the run game, especially on that big 48-yard house call.
888-957-9570 is the number. As you said, really, really want to hear from you today. I find the frustration to be almost kind of overwhelming based on what is happening with all three teams. But the 49ers have a very poor performance across the board. The Giants fire their manager, and the Warriors have media day, and they're all looking at each other going, you? Do you want to talk? What? Who? Who's the new people? Oh, they're not here yet. Like, it is a state of disarray. Different disarray, but disarray for all three teams, in my opinion. Let's go to Jonathan first. Hi, Jonathan, in the city. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I thought it was one of those games where they're going to get lucky again and pull it off, but not meant to be. A lot of injuries. They're still looking for a Buckner on defense. DJ Jones still pretty weak on that point of attack. But, I mean, the defense, you know, they played good enough to win the game. Unfortunately, you know, Fred wasn't able to hold on. Three would-be INTs. That would have been great. Like you guys alluded to, the special teams, the coverage is a whack. But at least the kicking game is pretty good, you know, getting field goals. Now, with the offense, I got a disturbing trend that I'm seeing, and I want to run it by you guys. I've seen this with the Jimmy 49ers under Kyle Shanahan. They would go to the NFC Championship game, right, that first year or whatever, and then follow it up with an appearance in the Super Bowl. And it's good. That first 2-3 years are really good. The tail end is kind of disturbing to me. I'm beginning to see the same trend. I don't know. It's because of, you know, below average offensive line, you know, they're not protecting the quarterback. Because towards the end of that Jimmy tenure, he was getting injured a lot. And with that injury came a lot of Jimmy Ono throws. So I'm seeing the same thing with Purdy now. If you look at Purdy's last five games, it's not good, guys, because all of a sudden, Brock Purdy has become turnover prone.
Okay. All right, Jonathan. All right, let's react to all of that here coming up next, and we'll open it up to all of you as well, 888-957-9570. And you can grab whatever you want on this tree of frustration from the Niner game to the Giants managerial change to the flux of the Warriors. We are sponsored by Moderna, and we are here for you. And, oh, by the way, yeah, he didn't win them both, but he didn't lose them both either. 14-3. Dibs had the Jags plus 3.5.
Yep.
So with two games kicking off tonight, one of them in just over an hour and a half, we're going to get to fade the Dibs real, real soon as well. So that's what we're doing. Let's ride. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Off the fake, Purdy. Up and downfield. He's going to float it for McCaffrey. Loose ball. Picked off by Devin Lloyd. Another Jacksonville takeaway. Flag is thrown. And finally, he's brought down by Connor Colby. We'll check that flag. It would be a second pick for Lloyd this year if it stands. And an 11th Jaguar takeaway on the season.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking this out. I find today to be one of the more frustrating days for a Bay Area sports fan that I can remember in a long time. And I mean that because it's across the damn board.
Yeah.
It's across the board. It's not like, ooh, Giants lost in the playoffs last night, or ooh, the Niners got beat in the playoffs yesterday, or the Warriors got eliminated and Steph Curry's hurt. When there's one big thing, it's like, oof, gut punch. Okay, what else can we look to? You know, in Philadelphia, they're famous for serenading their teams. When those teams don't do well, they start chanting for the next team
gotcha.
To play.
Let's right? go,
in other
Sixers.
Words, when the, exactly. Right. When the Phillies suck, let's go, Eagles. And they're telling their team, bleep you, you suck. We're
right.
going to move
We're
on to what's
with
next.
You, yeah.
What do I move on to today?
Well, you move on to a managerial search.
Ugh.
You move on to more talk about the qualifying offer and Jonathan Kuminga. And you move on to calling local hospitals to see how many Niners are there. And the telltale of yesterday was Jennings gets absolutely Malachi crunched, for those of you who partake in Happy Days. Broken ribs, likely. He can't get into the blue tent because Ricky Pearsall's already there. So he's got to take a number and wait his turn
Amazing.
To go in the blue tent. They're going to be the only team with blue tent city. They're just going to have a string of blue tents
need
on their sideline.
Yeah, we're going to get bigger tent.
Second tent. We're going to need a...
I love your idea that the Niners blue tent is like a deli.
Totally.
Maybe one of them little red things sticking
17,
out the side.
17.
Yeah.
I'd like the pastrami, please. This man has broken ribs, most likely. He can't even blue tentify because Ricky's in there with his PCL.
No, Juwan has looked like he can't breathe and beyond frustrated every time we've seen him, even going back to training camp. Contractual situation, shoulder, now it's ribs, everything that he's been through on a very, very young season.
His injuries read like a deli. Like, he got the shoulder, like a pork shoulder.
Pork shoulder.
He got the ribs, beef ribs. Or
short ribs.
Know, totally.
He's not very short. But
no.
Anyway.
Ferocious.
Yeah.
I'm gonna eat it.
It's tough. It's tough. 888-957-9570. How about let's go to Kirk in Los Altos Hills. Hi, Kirk. Thanks for the call. What's good?
Hi, how are you? Yes, I want to share the frustration, obviously. I told my wife before the game that I can understand this team losing to Green Bay or Detroit or something like that, but if they lose here, I'm going to be very upset. And by the end of the day, I mean, thinking about them and the other two teams, yeah, the 49ers, you know, the only team with a velvet rope outside the blue tent, I think we're headed into a period here of real mediocrity, you know, throughout this area, with the aging of the teams, the lack of things coming up from below, and everything else involved. And so it's, you know, happiness is where you set your level of expectations. And I think my suggestion is for the Bay Area that we better start thinking about setting our expectations a little bit lower, because I don't see anything bringing this group of three teams out of the morass anytime soon.
Well, Kirk, I mean, like, thanks, Kirk. That I can't argue with the thought process, but allow me to try. I understand where you're coming from. And I'm a big believer in trying to actually not let expectations guide you, because expectations are a projection. They are not reality at all. So I get where you're coming from there, but it also sounds very defeatist to me. And it also, to me, feels in some ways like letting these teams off the hook. Like, if I want good news from today, you want to know what the best news of today is? Buster Posey ain't messing around.
Yeah, fair enough.
That I would look at it that way, which I like. I respect Bob Melvin. I get that it was not a good year for him. I predicted for most of the summer. Intel was telling me he was staying. I think that was kind of the thought until this latest losing streak as of 3 weeks ago. And then last week you could tell he was gone. You could just tell by the cadence of what they were doing. And but the good news for me is if you look at the way Buster Posey is approaching this, he is not messing around. Like, when in doubt, send it out. We're not accepting 81-81. So there's some sort of a silver lining there, but it's not for today.
Well, for me, if silver linings, if you want to go that route, the Niners are 3-1. So you're not in a morass of mediocrity when you're tied for first in your division. And they're allowed to go to L.A., Levi South, and win and be 4-1 in the division and be 3-0 in intra-division games. That is on the table. So I'm not that down in the dumper across the board for the 49ers. Yesterday was frustrating. Jacksonville was messy. You were messier, but you started the season 3-1. I'm more concerned about the injuries than I am about the lack of pass rush. That will get better, or they will bring somebody in. I'm concerned about a Thursday game where your receivers might be Sky Moore and DeMarcus Robinson and Kendrick Bourne. That might be your trio right there. And
I really thought about
whoever else
way.
You can elevate. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know about Ricky playing with the PCL. He couldn't return. Juwan Jennings has a myriad of injuries. And we get more into the Ram game as we get closer to Thursday, but I'm more concerned about that.
I don't even know who the hell's throwing to them, whoever they are,
exactly.
By the way.
Yeah. Exactly. So the pass rush will figure itself out.
Eric in Walnut Creek. Hi, Eric. Thanks for the call. What you doing?
Did Brock Purdy play like his toe hurt, or did Brock Purdy play like he did all of last year? This is what we have. He is the same guy as last year. He's going to sail balls, what I call is duck fart throws. He's going to overthrow these guys. It's just the way that it is, and it's kind of like the Giants or the Niners or the Warriors. We're just living a world of bubble teams here, and the Giants just missed the playoffs by just a couple games, and the Niners are probably going to miss a wild card by a game. And it's just frustrating because, you know, Brock was special 2 years ago because he had two Swiss Army knives and doesn't have them anymore. And we're just kind of stuck with this. That's what I'm convinced of.
Yeah, Eric, let me see if I can. I bet I'll be unsuccessful, but I'm going to try to undo your thought about being stuck. Thank you very much for the phone call. Brock Purdy did not play poor football last year. That is a lazy and tired narrative based on the way their record ended up. I'm going to die on this hill if that's what it takes. The bottom line in the NFL is is that the entire team plays football and the entire team needs to be functioning on some level for anybody on that team to play well. That's just the fact. Lamar Jackson is 1-3 this year. We have got to get over this idea that when bad things are happening to a team, that the quarterback puts a cape on and goes out there and saves the team. Because that's what $53 million says to you. It's just not accurate.
Well, he doesn't have to save the team. No. Yesterday, he sunk the team.
He played poorly just like the rest of the team.
He made mistakes at times where he didn't need to make mistakes. And to the caller's point,
that's not true about a bunch of
yesterday,
guys.
Yesterday, he is throwing the ball a little bit like last year where the ball is just taking a long time to get there. He's not ripping it. I don't know if it's the toe or... I don't know what it is, but I see a lot of his passes that are in the air for a long, long time, and they're floating.
I'm going to separate yesterday from last year. Brock Purdy was not good yesterday. Brock Purdy also suffered a myriad of drops yesterday.
Yep.
Brock Purdy also does not have a run game right now for whatever reason. Brock Purdy does not have good play from his offensive line. Brock Purdy does not have a pass rush on the other end of the ball, so Brock Purdy's playing from behind. Yes, he was bad yesterday.
Unnecessarily bad.
That's true. That's yesterday,
last
though.
Year, I'm not going to tie that. He said that last year he was trying to do too much, and I saw yesterday a lot of that same thing, making throws that didn't need to be made.
That might be the case in some cases, sure. That's what I'm getting at. These things are all attached to one another. Why would he be making plays that he doesn't need to make? Would it be because he's down by 12 points, because his special teams doesn't tackle? Would it be because on certain third down throws where he hit wide open receivers right in the hands, they dropped them? Like, I don't know. Again, this is not to excuse his play. It was poor yesterday. But you can bounce around the league, and I'll give you a bunch of examples of a 50-something million dollar quarterback who didn't win a game. Jordan Love hasn't won one in 2 weeks, that didn't win a game because their team is not functioning well. The Niners were bad across the board yesterday, and I do not think that you have one of the elite quarterbacks in the league, but you got a very good one. I get a very good one.
Well, he's got to get back to playing like a very good one.
Right, but that is going to come. These things hold hands. Play better if they play better, and they will play better if he plays better.
He has to play better on his own. And yesterday, the interceptions...
There is no on your own.
There is when there are guys who are open and you are choosing to throw the ball into triple coverage. That's on you. You're the guy throwing the football, check the ball down.
And what about when you do hit those guys in the hands and they drop it?
No doubt. No doubt.
I mean...
That happens, and that's every play. How about when you underthrow Ricky Pearsall by 8 yards and he bails you out with an amazing catch?
Absolutely. No question.
Juwan Jennings and the DeMarcus Robinson first catch as a Niner was
tremendous.
A ball that was way up in the
air.
You
will not have me say Brock Purdy was good yesterday.
No, I'm not trying to get you to that
spot.
He
was not. But the bottom line is, if now you've arrived at this moment, and I'm not saying you are, but if any of you have arrived at this moment and decided that what the 49ers are suffering from is just horrific quarterback play, I'm not sure if you're watching all of the other players. I'm not sure if you're watching the entire game.
I don't think it's horrific quarterback play. The thing that I'm seeing, and this is mainly from yesterday, and it reminds me of last year, he's making mistakes with his head. And that's not what he did when he took him to the Super Bowl. When he came out, he was making the right throw on time. And now I'm seeing what I saw last year, which is he's trying to hold on to it, and you're trying to make things happen. The McCaffrey interception, you didn't need to throw that. McCaffrey breaks late down the middle. That was going to be a very difficult throw.
Yep,
and you had some underneath that was open. Just take the underneath. Take 4 yards. It's okay. I think he's trying to do too much again.
Maybe. I also think that, I'm not in his foot. I don't know how that thing feels, but I saw certain areas where Brock would either buy himself more time, or maybe instead of trying to huck that thing down the middle of the field for 20 yards, grab three. Let's grab 3 yards. Let's just
take off.
Just take off. And he wasn't doing it. And I can only guess that that's his foot. But I don't know. I don't know how that thing was feeling at what point in the game. We have the report that as of last night and this morning, he wasn't feeling very good.
Yeah.
So I don't know in game. Let's go to Frank in Fremont. Hi, Frank. What are you doing?
Hey, how we doing? I just wanted to say, man, I think they, uh, I think on the Brock Purdy front, I think they just rushed him back this last game. I think we should have let the Mac Jones play or even Martinez and make sure Brock was ready for Thursday. I think Thursday was a way more important game than Sunday.
I know a lot of people feel that way, Frank. Appreciate it. I don't think it's a crazy thought. I like, again, the only way I can address it is the way I did in the crossover.
Right.
I have no idea what to say when it comes to player health because I don't know if Mac Jones could even walk. I really don't. He had an injury designation, so I don't know if he was healthy. The idea that they should have thrown in Adrian Martinez, I think it's interesting how many people want to go to him who have never even seen him play football. He might be awful. And I think you have to try to win football games. If the doctors clear you and you can play well or even mostly well, I have no problem with you going. And if you end up getting hurt in the game, welcome to the club. You know, so that's the way I look at it. But I get it. I get it. If you end up missing Thursday because of Sunday, I understand the frustration. I certainly do.
If they would have beaten Jacksonville and the same thing would happen and he wouldn't have been able to play on Thursday, you'd feel different. Mm-hmm. So you're frustrated because they didn't win and he potentially won't be able to play Thursday. We won't know for some time whether or not he'll actually be able to give it a go. And the thing that I'm still stuck on in this whole conversation is Mac Jones. Nobody knows how healthy or not healthy he is. He had to put a brace on in the week 3 game against Arizona just to make it through. And he was noticeably limping late in that game. And he wasn't going to be 100% yesterday anyway. So we can all play the percentage game. None of us really knows who was healthier. How close was it? If Brock was good enough to feel like he could go out there, he goes out there and it's the same thing on Thursday.
Yeah, I agree. Like he's in pain, but I don't know. My perception of NFL players on Monday is that they're in pain. Like that, I think that's most of them.
Right. Christian McCaffrey, 23 touches yesterday.
Probably in a lot of pain.
He's in pain.
Probably in a lot of pain right now.
Yeah, they all are.
Juwan Jennings is in a tremendous amount of pain. I really do. I understand it. The Brock thing is super, super frustrating because Thursday is a very, very big game. But I don't know what the other great options were yesterday, and I'm not willing to just kick the game. Maybe this is unfair to Adrian Martinez. That's kind of what I feel like that is. Like, you've already won 2 games this year with a backup quarterback. That's incredible. How many games are you winning with a third-string quarterback in this league?
He was the UFL MVP, Mark.
Well, that's exciting.
I had to look that up. I don't watch a lot of UFL.
I don't even know what the hell the UFL is.
The United Football League.
Well, I mean, I get that. I know, right? I figured what you stand for. I didn't think it stood for unorthodox.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. But I, you know,
he's
what I mean?
He's never played a snap in the NFL in the regular season.
Like,
so
you're not wrong if you think, I guess, Brock shouldn't have played yesterday. I just don't. That's me. I don't know how to have an opinion about health and who's supposed to play. I don't know how to do that. I can't feel
like
what
none
the,
of us
I,
can.
I have
honestly,
no clue.
Anybody who says no that he shouldn't have played, then you should be in the medical room. You should be on site to see the injury for yourself. All we know is that he had turf toe, whatever that means, and I guess it's kind of a variant of turf toe, and he sat out a couple of games, and he sure looked okay at practice, so go ahead and play him. It's football. Somebody's going to get hurt. Well, he's probably going to get hurt.
Even though he played, and we can all look at it and go, by the way, do we know what toe yet? Do we know if it's the right toe or the left? We don't even know. Like, I'm going to assume it's the right toe, because everyone's talking about, like, that's your push-off foot. And I mean, is that what's causing high balls, floating balls? I have no idea. But it's not like he was out there gimpy. You know what I mean? He can move. I do know that, as you just pointed out, the last time I saw Mac Jones play, he had to dive in order to hand the ball off.
Yep. Yeah.
So I don't know what kind of, you know, ability he would have had to play a football game yesterday.
Yeah, he maybe had no ability to play.
I don't know.
And, you know, maybe he, if something happened to Brock in the game and he couldn't continue and Mac goes in there, Adrian Martinez would immediately suit up as the emergency third. That way he'd be at least ready. So you're not in a great spot right now with Brock in the toe, Mac in the knee, and a game on Thursday. So you go into it and you figure who's in the best shape to maybe help us go down there and get a win, which might be the toughest game you have all year.
Well, and we thought it was.
Right.
We thought it was. And now it's maybe even tougher than we thought. Right? Here's the other good news. The NFL will surprise you every Sunday, right?
Oh, yeah.
Surprise you every Sunday. The Giants beat the Chargers with a quarterback who'd never played before. Like, it'll surprise you every Sunday. So I get it. Right now, in this moment, on paper, the Niners are going to get their doors blown off on Thursday.
You think?
On paper.
Oh, yeah, paper.
On paper.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sure.
Don't you think? Like,
I'll let you know on Thursday.
Right. I know the pick's not in yet, but like, I think of the scenario at least if you go to Negativeville, right? Brock's not healthy, can't play. Mac plays, but he's only half speed or whatever. And Juwan doesn't play, and Ricky doesn't play, and we know George isn't back, and obviously Nick is gone for the year. And the pass rush still keeps getting stonewalled all the time. And, oh, by the way, the Rams are pretty healthy, and they're good. They're good. So add all that up, and you're like, oh, my God, the Niners are going to get their teeth kicked in. But it's the NFL. It's the NFL. And every single one of these games tends to look different every single week. I mean, I don't know. Like, I pick all those games just without spread,
right?
I didn't even look. I don't know if I got more than like three right yesterday. It's unbelievable how different this looks week to week.
Every week, so, yeah.
I don't know what the hell Thursday is going to happen. Maybe the Niners will go out there and win by three touchdowns.
And if you think
what the hell were the Cowboys doing last night? Where the bleep did that come from?
Right. I mean, all of a sudden the offense has been good, but they were able to just fight back so many different times in that game. The early spread for this game, Niners Rams, is only 4.5. So if you think they're going to get their doors blown off, well, that's Buffalo, New Orleans, and that game surprised you too.
Yep,
New Orleans, cover. No, they hung in too.
They hung in
late in that game.
They did. They had the ball, only down by like five.
Yep.
Couldn't go anywhere. But yeah, I will say this: the Niner Ram look ahead line was Rams by three.
Yep.
And these scenarios that have played out have knocked it up a point and a half already.
Right. So and it could go higher depending on availabilities and whatnot, but. Short week for both. Don't think that the Rams also aren't going to be really sore after playing a very tough game against Indianapolis.
No doubt. Devontae Adams was questionable going into that one, and Puka Nacua is a battering ram, and Kyren Williams didn't play great yesterday. I don't know. Tom in Alamo. Hey, Tom, thanks for calling. What you got?
Well, I was just thinking, really tough game for Purdy. I mean, he threw for 309 yards. But the real problem here is special teams. They lost a game by 5 points. They gave up an 87-yard return for a touchdown. There's your difference in the game. Not to mention a 54-yarder at the end of the half that led to a field goal. That's 10 points on special teams alone. Without that, they win the game despite having four turnovers and not turning them over at all. So, this game, as rough as it was right there for the winning. Just special teams has a problem, and I don't know if it's going to get fixed this year.
I don't know if it's going to get fixed any year. Tom, thank you. When is it ever going to get fixed?
I thought we were on the way to Fixville last week. I thought they had a pretty good game. I can't remember the Grandy's grade, but it was at least a C plus maybe for special teams. Which is unheard of in these parts.
I'll check. Give me a sec.
Last week, I know you already did the ones from yesterday, and I glanced at it. I think our station sends them out on Instagram, and I looked, and I was like, ooh, it's like my initial. It's popping up a lot on that one.
Yeah.
A lot of double D's in there.
Yeah. Last week for the Cardinals game, I gave special teams a B+, actually.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the punts were good, and Morstead with a big punt yesterday, but you got to tackle the guy who catches it, I'm being told. Yes, you
do. Spoiler alert, tomorrow Grandy grades. Special teams got a worse grade yesterday.
Oh, there you go. Call the tease, people.
I may just
no B plus. Huh?
I might go get coffee when you do grades and just mark me down for an F for everything.
Sounds good.
F's ahoy.
Yeah. I'm going to call it F-rything.
Oh,
that's it.
That's a 4. I like that. It's pretty good.
Who got better than an F?
Oh, the front seven. I mean, the front seven.
The front seven?
You can look at the pass rush.
The guys who locked arms with the offensive linemen and then just spoke to them for 10
Fred
seconds.
Warner with a couple of pass breakups, D-winners as well. Those things actually matter. And you look at a team that only gave up 250 total yards of offense. Yeah, I think you're being a little too reactionary with the defense.
No, I mean, like I said, they didn't touch Trevor Lawrence the whole game. What's the front seven supposed to do? Well, go get the quarterback. And his uniform is clean. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, here for your calls. 888-957-9570. Hell of a day. Hell of a day. It's Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.